Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. So today we have the healing of the woman with an infirmity. She was basically bent over for 18 years. And the words that are used in this healing are a little bit different. Christ doesn't say, "Woman, you are healed from your infirmity." He says to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." He uses a little different terminology. There are times in which he heals people and he uses more of those terms, the terms of healing. But here he uses the terms of freeing, of being set free. And he says a little bit later on, after the ruler of the synagogue had complained that he was healing on the Sabbath, and the ruler of the synagogue didn't even say that. It says that he was indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, but then instead of saying to Jesus, "Oh, you healed on the Sabbath," he said to the people who were there, he said, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed and not on the Sabbath day." So he wasn't really even willing to call out Jesus on the healing, but instead said to the people, "Oh, don't come on the Sabbath." But so anyway, this is what he said back to him. Christ said to the ruler of the synagogue, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So here again, he's not talking about a sickness in the way that we normally think of it. He didn't say this woman who's been sick for 18 years, but this woman who's been bound for 18 years. That he freed. St. Cyril of Alexandria talks about this and says that it's not just infirmity that we are bound by, but it's death and destruction. And that Christ, this one who freed this woman, also freed each and every one of us from that death and destruction. And this infirmity, in a sense, is just a symptom of the death and destruction that he freed us from through his death and resurrection. And this is what Christ does, is he sets us free. Sin is not some crime or whatever. It's a disease. It's a disease that binds us. It's a disease. It's like chains that bind us and drag us towards the earth and away from him. Another thing that the fathers talk about is how the fact that she was bent down was curving her towards the earth so that she was drawn towards earthly things and not into towards heaven. That she could not look up to heaven, to her Creator, but instead that she was forced by her infirmity to look down. And that's what Christ freed her from. He freed her from being tied to earth, being tied to the earthly things, and allowed her to be drawn towards the heavenly things. And that's what he does for us as well. He releases us from those things that tie us to earthly, worldly things, from those things that make us focus on the worries of life and that kind of thing instead of focusing on him. And he has set us free. He set us free through our baptism and chrismation. And when we've been set free, we truly are free. We're free to seek him and to seek to live in such a way that would honor and glorify him. And that's what he did for this woman. And he shows us the importance of this, the importance of the freedom that he gives us by the fact that he did do this on the Sabbath. He did this on the day in which one was not supposed to work, but he recognized the importance. In the same way that he said that the rulers of the synagogue would take their oxen and lead them to give them water, which gives them life, that is what he gave on this day. He gave freedom and life to this woman. He released her from the bonds of death and destruction and instead released her to be free to live unto him. And this is what he gives us. He gives us that freedom. And it's a great gift. But we also have to choose that freedom. We can choose to be bound by the chains of sin. We can choose to return to that sin time and again, or we can choose to be freed. But like I said, we must choose. We must seek to allow him to free us, because he won't do it without our own will being involved. But as long as we do, as long as we look towards him, we can know that he is not a God who binds. He's not a God who pushes down, or a God who punishes, but instead a God who frees. A God who frees us from death and from destruction and from the sinfulness of the world and the cares and worries of this world, so that we can truly be united to Him, to His glory, that of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.